This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The U.S. economy grew at 2%. The big question, what's it going to take to bump that up?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good day to you from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Word this morning that the nation's economy grew at a 2% clip, an annual rate for the last 3 months. That is a little less than analysts were expecting. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch. She's with us live from New York, as she is on Fridays. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Give us a little perspective, would you, on this 2% GDP?
I know it sort of sounds like stinky growth, but remember, we saw a contraction, a minus 6.8% just 2 years ago at the depths of the Great Recession.
And how does this, all right, so we're in a recovery period, right?
Absolutely.
How does this rate as recoveries go?
In the 4 quarters since the recession ended, growth has been up about 3%. Now, that sounds good, but it's almost half the 5.9% expansion we have seen in total post-war recoveries.
All right, you're glossing me over all these numbers. So what needs to happen, Jill, to get the economy revving on all cylinders?
Well, you know, that's what the Federal Reserve is trying to figure out. And when they meet next week, it's expected that they're going to announce that they're going to buy a bunch of U.S. government bonds to help spur the economy. We don't know if it'll work, but they think it's on the road to recovery is buying bonds. We'll see.
We're going to see, and they're going to do that next week after the midterms, right?
Right on.
All right. Jill Schlesinger with CBS Money Watch in New York. Jill, thanks.
Take care.
Millions of viewers in New York and in Philadelphia haven't been able to watch the Fox network for a while now. That's because of a dispute between Fox and Cablevision in those markets. While those viewers can't watch, a lot of younger viewers who are able to don't watch. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
Maybe it's the dialogue from the new sitcom Running Wild.
I'm going to make you a better man.
Not if I can make you a worse woman first.
Or maybe it's that old favorites like... have gotten a little old. This fall, Fox has lost almost 17% of its young adult audience, those 18 to 34-year-olds who let the network charge more for ads. Brad Adgate is with Horizon Media.
The Simpsons, for instance, gets about three times the advertising rate that 60 Minutes gets, even though 60 Minutes delivers more viewers.
More older viewers. Fox still has a winner with its hit show Glee, but new shows have struggled. Bill Carroll is a programming consultant.
They've already canceled one program, and another of the shows seems to be on the fence.
Carroll says there's a little reality show that may drag Fox out of its slump.
This is American Idol.
But it won't be here until January. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Global stocks are lower at the moment. Markets are down right now in Europe and Asia. Average of 0.5% this hour in Europe after the U.S. economic growth report came out today, the GDP. Reports today that profits did surge for the Japanese carmakers Honda and Mazda, and for electronics makers Sony and Panasonic, Merck profits plunged 90%. Cigna Insurance dropped 6.5%. Wall Street yesterday, the NASDAQ and S&P gained a little. The Dow gave back 12 points to close at 11,113.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. And by the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering 4 sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday.
This weekend in the NFL, the Broncos take on the 49ers, but neither team will have a home field advantage. The game is going to be played in London. And that got our Freakonomics correspondent Stephen Dubner thinking. Welcome to the Marketplace Morning Report, Dubner.
Good morning, Chiatakis.
All right, so the Broncos 49ers game, even though it's being played in London, will be played exactly the same as it is here, right?
One key difference, you'll see more advertising on the field than the NFL typically allows here. But they take it a step further. They put big, fat corporate logos right over the heart on the players' jerseys. And it got me to thinking, why doesn't the NFL allow that?
You know, I've wondered about that too, Stephen. The NFL isn't shy about putting corporate names on stadiums, as we know. Would jersey ads be less valuable in the United States than in, say, Europe?
I don't think so. The top teams in Europe average about $17 million a year for the jersey sponsorship. I talked to some smart folks here. They estimated it might be worth about the same. So why pass it up? Why leave that money on the table? So I asked that to Joe Ellis, who's the chief operating officer of the Denver Broncos. And his answer is essentially tradition. But he also has this to say.
I will tell you that if you did do it, people would get over it very quickly and would accept it very quickly.
In fact, this season, for the first time, the NFL allowed teams to put paid sponsorship on their practice jerseys.
So then what's stopping this from happening?
The NFL doesn't want to cannibalize revenue from existing streams. The other thing is that the corporate sponsorship landscape is complicated. I talked to Keith Gordon from the marketing arm of the NFL Players Association, and he makes the important point that big-time players already have their own sponsorship deals.
If an NFL player has a sponsor logo on his jersey, it could simply prevent him from actually acquiring another deal with, let's say, another competitor.
So, Steve, you've seen Peyton Manning on all those TV ads for Sony. What if his team now, the Indianapolis Colts, what if they start wearing Panasonic jerseys? Mm. Now, all of a sudden, if I'm Peyton, I don't look like such an ideal Sony sponsor anymore. And it seems to look like the money that might flow directly to me is now being spread among my 52 teammates, kind of robbing Peyton to pay Paul and everybody else. And then there's the issue of how that money would get split between the players and the teams. The league and the players' union are not on the best of terms right now. There's a lockout pending for March. So they're not so likely to see eye to eye on something like splitting this kind of new dough.
Stephen Dubner, Freakonomics correspondent, thanks.
My pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
Check out FreakonomicsRadio.com. And finally, in Baltimore, the first repeat offender citation has gone out for a restaurant that's violated the city's ban on trans fat in food. The city's health department has issued dozens of warnings, but no one had gotten a $100 fine until now. And the restaurant that got it for its unhealthy margarine, the Healthy Choice Cafe. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
During the November sweeps, television writers lay it all on the line. They write episodes that change everything. Not the kind of pressure people miss, right?
It does, however, make me fondly reminisce about my time in the trenches. And by fondly reminisce, I mean wake up in the middle of the night screaming.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. You know, it ain't easy writing for TV. The story next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.